Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned, because this could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we do it without any manipulation. It means we do not have any hidden agendas here on this radio show. There's nothing for you to join. There's nothing to sell you. There is no political agenda. This is simply a show about the Word of God. This show is to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life, and if you can do that, then obviously you can orient and adjust to that plan. It's simply up to you. I'm not here to coerce you to do anything. I'm simply here to give you accurate information relating to the Word of God. And it is my prayer as you listen to this show that God the Holy Spirit will indeed speak to you about the things that are found in the Bible. It's not a call-in show. It's not a dialogue. It's a monologue. It's me speaking to you. But it is going to be a show that will be most interesting for you. If this is your first time to listen, we call this show The Flatline for one simple reason. FLOT is a military acronym, and it stands for the Forward Line of Troops. And what happens when the military goes to battle, the command post always establishes a forward line of troops so that the enemy is not able to overrun the command post. Well, we're using that analogy so that you might understand how important it is to establish a forward line of troops within your own soul to keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. By establishing a flat line in your soul, you're able to keep the pressure of life, the testings of life, even the temptations that may come your way from overrunning the command post of your soul and causing you to collapse under stress and adversity in your life. Yes, adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional. And if you will simply learn the wonderful problem-solving devices found in the Word of God, and simply there are 10 of them that we've been able to identify on this radio show, then you will be able to keep the outside pressure of adversity from doing these things to you. So establishing a flat line, setting up a flat line in your soul, means that you come to understand the wonderful problem-solving devices found within the Word of God, and you use them, you deploy them, you put them to work in your life. See, there's no way that any believer in Jesus Christ can ever be the man or the woman God intended for them to be until they learn a few operating principles. We started a study last week that I think might be interesting to you. This study that I'm doing, this brief 30-minute study here for the last couple of weeks, is being an MVP. We all know what it means to be an MVP, to be the winner of the Masters, to be the outstanding football player, to be the outstanding basketball player, to be the outstanding baseball player, to be the winner of the Bassmasters Classic or the FLW Tour Championship. These are fishing tournaments. The MVP, that's the hero. That's the number one hotshot guy. That's the guy that wins it all. And I want you to know that God is looking for a few MVPs. You can be that MVP in your very own life by coming to understand the Word of God. Most people think MVP stands for most valuable player, and it does in fact, but I have changed it to mean momentum, virtue, and poise. Momentum, virtue, and poise. As a believer in Jesus Christ, when you develop momentum, virtue, and poise, then you can be the MVP that God is looking for. And we started this show last week talking about momentum. I want to go back and remind you of just a couple of things as we move forward today, studying how you or myself, how we could be an MVP for God. First of all, I want you to imagine two interlocking circles in your mind. Two circles, and pull them together so that they're interlocking. And we have MVP, the outer circle on the left, the outer circle on the right, and where they interlock, they create a small circle also, MVP. Momentum, virtue, and poise in these two interlocking circles. Momentum, that's how you deal with people. Virtue, that's what's required to deal with God. And poise, that's how you deal with adversity in your life. Now let's go back and do this again. I just said something wrong. I want to correct it. I didn't mean to say it that way. But momentum is how you deal with God. Virtue is how you deal with people. And poise is how you deal with yourself. Again, momentum is how you deal with God. Virtue is how you deal with yourself. And poise is how you deal with people. So as you develop momentum, a relationship with God, virtue, you become the person God intended you for you to be, then you have poise, you have dynamics in your life that allow you to be the person that God wants you to be, His personal representative in this world who is representing Jesus Christ to everyone that you meet by the way that you live. You're a representative of Christ and you represent Him by your lifestyle. So we have to ask some obvious questions. Number one, what is momentum? That was an obvious question that we had to answer a couple of weeks ago on this radio show, and I went to the Webster Dictionary to get an answer for you. And I'm going to back up in my notes here just for a minute and reread that for you. When we went to Webster's Dictionary and we studied momentum, we found that it was impetus or incentive, that it was increased activity, that it's strength or force gained by motion or through development. So you see, when you get momentum, you gain development. You have impetus, incentive in your life. That's not, I don't mean doing something around the church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about when you join a church, they want you to teach Sunday school, or they want you to head up the youth department, or they want you to be on the deacon board. That's not momentum. That's service. That's something different. Momentum may be you actually doing less in your church, but you studying more. So momentum that I'm talking about is a spiritual momentum in your life that is related to your intake of the Word of God on a daily basis. So what is momentum? It is your growth. It is your moving forward. It's your moving ahead. It's the impetus that keeps you going in your spiritual life. You start off as a baby Christian, and obviously you become a student, and then you become a mature believer. God wants all of us to become mature believers. He doesn't want us to stay baby Christians all of our life. Therefore, we must have a pastor. We must have a church. There's got to be a pulpit in our life somewhere because He has equipped men with the gift of pastor-teacher, and their job is to teach it to us. And so as we are filled with the Spirit, that's problem-solving device number one in our life. If we are filled with the Spirit, and number two, if we sit consistently under the ministry of a pastor who's teaching the Word of God to us, then we begin to develop momentum. And how do I maintain that momentum? Well, it requires some discipline. It requires some routine. It requires you being consistent. And then what does momentum do for you? Let's back up and run that again. What is momentum? It's you moving forward. It's you establishing some impetus in your life. It's you beginning to grow spiritually in your life so that you eventually become a mature believer. How do you do that? Number one, you stay filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And number two, you sit under a qualified pastor who teaches you the Word of God. You learn it and you metabolize it. That means you apply it into your life, into your soul. You eat the Word of God and it gives you strength. And how do you maintain it? You discipline yourself to do it consistently. It becomes a routine in your life. And you have spiritual growth by consistently disciplining yourself to make the study of the Word of God one of the most routine things that you will ever do. So if you do that, what would momentum do for you? Well, number one, it's going to take you to the high ground of spiritual maturity. It's going to make you leave everything else behind and become focused on the one thing you should be focused on. That's why Paul said, I forget everything that's behind. I forget everything I've done. It's nothing but dung. The important thing is the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And Paul made that very clear. But let me read to you what he wrote here so you will see the importance of having momentum in your life. Without momentum, you will never know what this verse is all about. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and all the way through verse 20. And I'm going to do a modified, expanded translation of this. This is not the King James. It's not the New American Standard. It's the modified, expanded translation, which is me taking it from the original languages and giving it a little modification. So listen. Paul said, the reason that I'm writing to you is so that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, with the result that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, so that you will come to understand what is the confidence we have in His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Now let's back up just for a minute so you can see this. Why do I need momentum in my life? So that I could have a spirit of wisdom and revelation through the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him. That's a prepositional phrase. In the knowledge of Him. Okay? Now, the word knowledge is a very interesting word. In the original manuscripts of the Greek New Testament, this is not a word for knowledge, which would normally be the Greek word gnosis. This word is epignosis. This is full knowledge. Full knowledge. Epi being full and gnosis being knowledge. This is something that God wants you to have, not only a knowledge, but a full knowledge. Remember our passage in Jeremiah 9:23-24, where God said, I'm looking for people that don't only know me, but they understand me? Well, this is understanding God. This is not only knowing Him, but understanding Him. This is understanding how God wants you to do something in a certain way at a certain time. The full knowledge is when you've heard the pastor teach it, and you believe it, and you apply it. You see, hearing Him teaching it and believing it, that's gnosis. You got the knowledge. But until you apply it into your life, it's not epignosis. It's not full knowledge. You haven't, by faith, applied it into your life. You metabolize it and apply it. It becomes part of your frame of reference, your memory center, your vocabulary. It is the very thing that gives you strength in your life. And so this Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The word wisdom is an interesting Greek word called sophia. This simply means that we know how to act and when to act. We're not impetuous. It's understanding. The word wisdom is skill or discretion. God wants you to have that in your life. And this is the information you hear that your pastor teaches, and you believe it, and you apply it, and you use it in your life, and it gives you this discretion. It gives you understanding of what God's plan for your life is, so that you don't become an impetuous believer. I've been down that road myself. I've done a lot of stupid things I didn't need to do, and I thought I was doing it for God. I thought this is what God wanted me to do, and then when you take a look back at it 10, 20 years later, you say, what a waste of time that was. It's just me doing something stupid. So wisdom lets you know when and how to act. And not only do we have wisdom, but we have revelation. That also is a Greek word called apokalypsis. And that word means things that were before unknown. Wow. So when I began to develop momentum in my life by staying filled with the Spirit and listening to the teaching of the Word of God from the pulpit of my church under the authority of my pastor, then I began to have some wisdom and revelation by having this knowledge of Him, this full knowledge of Him, the thing that Paul said that was the most important thing in his life, that he might come to know Him. And knowing Jesus Christ, who He is, what He is, why He did what He did, and how you can live a Christ-like life and represent Christ to this world, there's nothing more important than that. So Paul says, if you do this, the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. You see, without having the knowledge of Him in your soul, you are going to live a handicapped Christian life. Handicapped. There are many handicapped Christians today. We call them conventional Christians. They just want someone to marry them and bury them, and the rest of the time leave them alone. And they are handicapped because they never get this wisdom. They never have this revelation. They never come to know the unknown. They never get any epignosis. Sometimes they do, in fact, go to church, but they don't actually take notes. They don't even remember what the preacher said when they left because they were too busy thinking about what they were going to have for dinner at the local cafe. They never applied any of it because they said, well, that doesn't really relate to me. Well, there's a lot of times the Bible is taught from the pulpit and it doesn't relate to you, but that doesn't mean you don't need to learn it. You learn it and you store it because there's going to come a time when it will relate to you. So without having the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, you become handicapped in your spiritual life, and the eyes of your understanding are not enlightened. But Paul says here that if you do have it, if you have this momentum in your life, the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. What does that mean? Well, listen to the verse. And you will come to understand what is the confidence we have in his calling, and what are the riches of the inheritance he's given to us, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Three clear things. You will have confidence in his calling. You will know that God is not wasting your time. You will come to understand what God has in store for you, and believe you me, it is much greater than anything you could have in store for yourself. You will begin to understand the riches of your inheritance. And, you know, tragically, a lot of people think this refers to financial riches, and it does not. You see, the Bible says that we have this treasure in our earthly bodies. Treasure is an interesting word. It's the Greek word thesaurus. Thesaurus is the word treasure. You see, the pastor's job is to go into the mines of the Bible and dig up the treasure and bring it to you and make you rich. It's a word treasure. It's the word of God. And when it's in your soul, when you metabolize it and learn it and apply it into your life, you become wealthy beyond anyone's wildest imagination. You have the greatest joy the world has never known. It is exceeding joy. It's a peace that the world has never known. It's a power the world has never known. And you are right in the middle of the most wonderful place. It's the perfect will of God for you. This is understanding the inheritance that God has for you. And you will see the greatness of that power that comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God believed and applied into your life. So when you take the filling of the Holy Spirit and when you take the Word of God applied and believed into your life, those are the two power options in your life. And those are the things that give you the ability to drive forward each day in spite of the adversity that you may face. Excuse me. Remember what I said? Adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. We see these scriptures show or tell you why it's important for you to grow spiritually and why it's important for you to advance in the plan of God by consistent momentum under the filling of the Holy Spirit and under the faithful ministry of a qualified pastor. Are there some pastors who are not qualified? Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, God didn't call a pastor to babysit you. He called a pastor to teach you. Now, let's just take one moment. If you want to have momentum in your life and you're under a qualified pastor, here's the question. How much is he teaching you? See, I think you need to find a pastor that will teach you the Word of God consistently. If you put a child in the first grade and they only go to the first grade 30 minutes a day, they're never going to get out of the first grade. And many Christians only get 30 minutes of instruction a week from a pastor. I don't think you can ever grow to spiritual maturity on that. I don't think you can grow to spiritual maturity on an hour a week, 30 minutes on Sunday morning and 30 minutes on Sunday night. And someone may say, well, you're supposed to study at home, see? That's not the plan of God. Sure, you're supposed to study at home. Sure, you read your Bible at home. Sure, you pray and ponder over it. That's not how you grow spiritually. Listen, the Word of God is not a novel. It's a textbook. When you sit under a pastor and he teaches it to you, that's his gift. That's why God gave him that gift. And the gift for you is there to teach you so you can grow. And by him spending time teaching you the Word of God, let's imagine this. Let's imagine that he taught you 4 or 5 hours a week. Would you grow quicker than if he taught you an hour a week and you went home and did your daily devotion every day after that? You say, well, yeah, I reckon I would. Sure you would. But I don't really have time for that. I understand, because it's not a priority, is it? You see, you want a little quick one-shot deal, and it's not going to work. There are no quick one-shot deals in the Christian life. There's no one decision that you can make. You can go forward and make some decision in church, and now you're going to be a Christian you want to be for the rest of your life. Doesn't happen. Doesn't work that way. The only way it works is consistent discipline in your life so that you establish a routine of taking the Word of God in, and I believe, on a daily basis. And I know there are pastors that offer it on a daily basis. There are men that I know that have pulpits all across America who teach the Word of God 4 and 5 hours a week from their pulpit. And their people grow. And, you know, quite frankly, they're not large churches because most people don't want that. Most people would rather be entertained when they go to church. They really don't go to church to do a lot of thinking. I mean, I've had people say, well, that's like college. I don't want to go to learn. Unfortunately, that's correct. It's like college. You go to learn. You say, well, I just want to go to church to feel good and go home. You know, I want to worship God and go home. Well, you don't quite understand what church is. You see, it's a classroom. Sure, you can worship God. You worship God anytime the Bible is opened and taught. It is the infallible Word of God. It is recorded by God the Holy Spirit, and it glorifies Jesus Christ. How do you think you worship God? You think you worship God because you sing some song called, Oh, How I Love Jesus, and then you go out and do whatever the heck you want to? You don't love Him. He said, if you love me, you will obey me. Well, you don't even obey Him. But you say, oh, but I love Him. If you love Him, you will come to know Him, and then you might be surprised at who and what He really is. So ritual without reality is meaningless. If we don't learn the protocol plan of God, we're never going to be able to be productive believers. That's why momentum is important. If you want to be a productive believer, if you want to be a believer that glorifies God to the max, you must have spiritual momentum in your life. And it only comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit and through the receiving of the teaching of the Word of God on a consistent basis. Let me demonstrate this point to you. This is a simple question. And just as if I were there, answer this question. If I came to you and I said, I have just been saved, and I want you to tell me what I must do to be a good Christian. Well, that's a simple question. I've just been saved. I want you to tell me what I must do to be a good Christian. See, most people cannot answer that question. Most people cannot give a specific answer. They will say, well, you know, you ought to read your Bible, and you ought to pray, and you ought to go to church, and you ought to give, and you ought to witness. And, well, those are things good Christians do. That's not how you become one. I want to know how you become one. So if I pray and read my Bible and go to church, I'll be a good Christian? Is that what you're telling me? Well, no, not really. What do I have to do to be like you? Tell me what I have to do to be like you. You are a good Christian, aren't you? So what should I do to be like you? See where the problem is? Most people can't tell you. And they'll say some cliche like, well, turn it all over to God. Let Jesus have it all. What does that mean? The most important thing for you and me, the most important thing for us is to learn not how to serve in the church, but how to grow. That's the most important thing. Now that you're saved, God wants you to grow up. And the only way you're ever going to grow up is to use the two power options He's given you. Number one, to stay filled with the Spirit. And number two, to take His Word and learn it and use it. That's what is important, and that's what you must learn, and that's what you must understand. Because without this, there's no momentum in your spiritual life, and you're going to grow up, and you're going to die, and you're going to go to heaven, and you're going to be a first grader. When you should have graduated, you should be going to heaven as a mature believer, but you're not. You see, your relationship with God has to be more important and any relationship with anybody else. Relationships with people, I mean, those are nice. We all got family. We all got grandkids, kids, etc. But the Bible says this in Ephesians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. What is the most enduring and the lasting? Things above. So you're not even a citizen of this earth. Your citizenship is in heaven. Your politeuma, the Greek word politeuma, your citizenship is not even in this earth. It's in heaven. Your home is Uranus, not earth. You're just a sojourner. You're just passing through here. You're an ambassador, a personal representative of Jesus Christ on this planet for a temporary time. So why is everything here so important to you? Why do you cling to everything here as if it's going to make you happy? Happiness is not related to people or to circumstances. This is why it's so important. to learn the Word of God and to develop that momentum in your life so that you come to understand what is priority number one. And it's not family. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It is your Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:35 says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemy will be those of his own house." What is Jesus talking about? He's saying this, "The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than even a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart." That's Hebrews 4:12. He's telling you that when you learn His Word, when you pick up your cross and you follow Him, when you develop momentum in your life, you are going to leave people behind. They're not going to like it because they're not going to be priority number one on your chart anymore. They're going to be priority number two. Priority number one is going to be your relationship with God. Priority number two, your spouse or your family. So we cannot execute God's perfect plan through our own human power and own human dynamics. See, these are some things you need to understand. One, your relationship with God is more important than your relationship with people. I mean, fellowship is nice, but learning God's Word and applying God's Word is essential. Why do you think the Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed"? Why do you think Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead, you follow me"? Why do you think Jesus said, "Any man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy"? You must understand this. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you must pick up your cross and follow Him. And that doesn't mean that you live a life of deprivation. That's not what He's saying. What He's saying is, you, here it is, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." I mean, that's pretty simple. The yoke, the cross that He wants you to pick up is to learn who and what He is and represent Him in this world by representing His life to everyone that you meet. And that got Him crucified, and it'll get you nailed too. People will not like you when you become Christ-like. Even your whole family may turn against you, especially if you're in a denomination that doesn't particularly care for this sort of fervor or this sort of devotion. And they're going to say, "Well, you've gone off the deep end. Where did you get all that? Why are you all of a sudden so interested in studying the Bible and talking about the Bible all the time? What's gotten into you?" See, if you're going to execute God's plan, you've got to do it in His power, not in your own human energy, not in your own human dynamics. That's one of the problems that people have with developing no momentum. There's no momentum apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit and apart from the teaching of the Word of God. So when we fail to learn the dynamics of these things, then we are not the man or the woman that God would have us to be. You know, I want to come back next week, and I want to cover four things that keep us from having any momentum in our life, and I think I'll get back to those next week because I'm running out of time quickly. But I want to thank you for listening today. And if you would like to write to me, you feel free to do so. You can always write to me at the address that the announcer gives at the end of the show, or you can simply go to the World Wide Web. And there you can go to www.bigrick.org. That's www.bigrick.org. And you can send me an email. We can correspond. If I can help you in any way develop your momentum or identify any of these things we've been talking about, it would be my pleasure to do so. But I sure thank you for listening to The Flatline, and I trust you'll join me next week, same time.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.